Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other podcast platforms, including now even on Pandora. Thanks so much for listening, and do be sure that you're subscribing to this show so you get every episode automatically every week. There is no cost to subscribe. It's just an option that you select one time for convenience. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. You can listen there, but there are also links there, particularly on the subscribe page, to hear the show on all kinds of podcast listening apps, and there are links on the website to Catholic Sports Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Please be sure to like, follow, etc. on those platforms. You can always send comments through the website. Plus, you can post thoughts, suggestions, engage with other listeners, and even post prayer requests in the show's Facebook group, which is called CSR Listeners. There's a button for that, too, on catholicsportsradio.net. Also, please help me spread the word about the show. I'd appreciate it if you would tell others about Catholic Sports Radio as I continue trying to get the word out and bring in more listeners. In terms of my ministry moment for this episode, the Major League Baseball season is over, and so that sport sort of gets tucked away now, not unlike how the weather changes and it becomes a different season, or Halloween passes and gets left in the past, and the focus turns to Thanksgiving until it passes and gets forgotten about, just like MLB when baseball's not being played. And I hear a lot of Christians using the expression, "I'm going through a season right now." Be careful if that's you, or if Satan is trying to lure you into that. We can't put away our faith until next season. We can't go into hibernation and then come out for spring training ready to reconnect with God. A lot of people will say, "I'm going to spend some time on me and put myself first for once." No, God must come first at all times. Matthew 6:33 says, quote, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given you," end quote. Remember, our Heavenly Father is the God of all seasons. Moving on now with episode 42, joining me today is someone who was part of a story you are likely familiar with, having made headlines when it occurred in January 1992, the Notre Dame swim team being in a bus accident in which some student-athletes were killed, and my guest was left paralyzed with a broken back. Miraculously, she returned to competitive swimming for the University of Notre Dame 21 months after the accident and her injury, and later went on to become the assistant swim coach at Xavier College Prep, an all-girls Catholic high school in Phoenix. She wrote a book called What Though the Odds? Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Haley Scott DeMaria.
Hi, Bruce. Thanks so much for having me.
My pleasure. Thank you, Haley. Good to talk to you. Listeners, you might recall that 2 weeks ago, Clay Dimmick, a pro soccer player, talked on episode 40 about his non-traditional background, having just become Catholic approximately 15 months ago. Do go back and listen to his interview, by the way, if you didn't hear it already. But Haley, you are in the same boat in terms of not having been a cradle Catholic.
I am, yes. I always refer to myself affectionately as a Christian mutt. And really, and what that means in my life was, my father was raised Presbyterian, so I was baptized in the Presbyterian church. My mother was an Episcopalian, so as we got to our grade school years, we moved to an Episcopal church. So I spent my elementary school years attending Episcopal services. And then when I was in middle school, my parents joined a Methodist church because that was where my mom was working at the time. And then I went to a Catholic high school and college. So I refer to myself as a Christian nut because I dabbled in a lot of different aspects of the Christian religion. And I knew that faith was important. I knew that prayer was important, but I didn't necessarily find a spiritual home. So that's where the mutt comes in. Sometimes it takes a while for a mutt to find a home, and I was in that case as well.
Okay. Well, I always tell people when I am promoting this show, when I'm describing it, when I'm talking about it, that this is not a traditional sports show. We don't talk about wins and losses and statistics. It's the intersection of your faith life and sports life. However, I want to ask you about the bus accident, but first let's establish, how important was competitive swimming to you at that point in your life. Were you on the swim team in high school? Did you get an athletic scholarship? Just give us a reference point to where you were swimming-wise as you were starting college.
So I started swimming competitively at age 10, which
Wow.
is fairly late for the sport. I grew up in Phoenix, Arizona, so most of us learn to swim when we learn to walk, just by the nature of it being so hot in the summertime. But when I was 10 years old and started summer swimming and then year-round swimming, it really just had to do with the fact that as a 10-year-old girl, I was 5 feet 8 inches tall, which is pretty extraordinary for that age.
And how?
And I also wasn't therefore very coordinated at any other sports. But boy, if you put me on a starting block against a bunch of other little 10-year-old girls, swimming was a sport that I could do, and I could do well,
Okay.
just by the nature of my height. So I swam competitively for about 7 or 8 years before I went to college. I knew I wanted to compete and swim in college, so that played a role into where I wanted to go to school. But athletics were hugely important to us
Okay.
in sort of their own silo. I had my athletic life, and then of course I had this spiritual life that were very separate as a child, and it's really just when they come together eventually through life that we reach our full potential.
Well, go ahead then and talk about the bus accident now, but more so, where was your faith life at that point as it relates to being able to go to God for strength and prayer? Or was it a classic case of getting mad at him and asking why me? Obviously, once you kind of got quote unquote settled in after that accident, but just go ahead and pick up the story. And if you would, just kind of weave some of that into it.
Absolutely. So I went to an all-girls Catholic high school because they had the best swim team in the state of Arizona at the time. And I went to the University of Notre Dame because I really wanted to swim for the coach at the time, Tim Welsh. So it had very little to do with the fact that they were both Catholic schools. But in hindsight, those were two phenomenal institutions that gave me so much more than just an academic education. Tim Welsh had what he called a mission statement for Notre Dame swimming. And it's a beautiful statement that reads, "The purpose of Notre Dame swimming is to pursue and achieve athletic excellence with self-discipline and love for one another." And for Tim, our coach, the love for one another piece was by far the most important part of that mission statement that he had. And that alone sort of set the tone that we're all called to do as Christians, which is, to love one another as I have loved you. And we would need that in a pretty significant way during my freshman year at Notre Dame. We were returning from a swim meet in Chicago, and just about 2 miles from the exit to return back to campus when our bus hit a patch of black ice. Now, growing up in Arizona, that is a term I had never heard of before,
Sure.
but certainly changed my life. Our bus flipped off the side of the road. It literally did a flip turn in swimming terms. We flipped upside down and facing the opposite direction, as you would in a flip turn. And I landed on the top of my spine and shattered three vertebrae. There's not a whole lot I remember from that evening. What I do remember, even 27 years later, I remember very clearly. But I knew my back hurt. I knew I was very, very cold. We were in the middle of a blizzard. And I knew that I was thrilled when the ambulance and help first arrived, because they took me. I was one of the first swimmers that they took away from the scene of the accident.
Okay.
It never occurred to me that it was because I was the most seriously injured. So I would be diagnosed with a broken back when I was first put into the on the stretcher to be put into the ambulance. Was the first time I realized I had no feeling or movement from the waist down, and lying in the snow. One of my teammates laid with me. When I told her my back hurt, she wouldn't let me move. Most swimmers are lifeguards by training. It's just a great summer job for a swimmer. And so, of course, with her lifeguard training, she knew that any head, neck, or back injury shouldn't move. But I had been lying in the snow for about an hour and a half, which really just illustrates how poor weather conditions were that night. That's how long it took for medical help to arrive. When I got to the hospital, again, I was diagnosed with a broken back. They were able to see that I had shattered three vertebrae, T8, 9, and 10, which is right in the middle of your torso. And I was told that if there was any chance for me to walk again, that they needed to operate that night. And so at 18 years old, in the middle of the night, in South Bend, Indiana, technically an adult, I looked, or legally an adult, I looked at the emergency room physician and just said, well, what are we waiting for? And at that point, assigned my own consent form for emergency back surgery that night.
Wow.
I would end up having two surgeries that evening and the next day to help relieve pressure off the spinal cord. I was given a 48-hour window for feeling or movement to return if I was to have any chance to walk again. And unfortunately, that 48-hour window came and went. And it was at that point that one of the nurses on my ICU level floor came to me and my parents, who had come in, and said, Haley, your life has changed. You will not walk. Mm. You will not swim. And the faster you can accept this, the faster we can help you live a very happy and healthy and meaningful life. Mm. But you need to accept this for us to be able to help you.
I already know that the story is a happy ending, and yet I'm like welling up with tears over here in my throat and my eyes.
Well, it's a lot. It certainly was a lot to hear at 18 years old. As a mother of two teenagers now myself, I can imagine it was even harder for my parents to hear about their 18-year-old daughter. But as luck and certainly prayer, and probably prayer more than luck, would have it, about a week after the accident, and so a few days after I'd been told I would never walk, right before my father was getting ready to fly back to Arizona to be with my younger sister, who they had literally left in the middle of the night, the large toe on my right foot slowly started to move. Mm. Again, there's really no medical explanation why at that point the medical window had closed. But I was also surrounded by this really wonderful community of faith. And I have always believed truly and know, because I felt it, that it was not my faith that got me through this, but it was the faith of everyone around me.
Wow.
And that really started from the moment the accident happened. You know, when I first came out of those surgeries, Father Malloy, who was the president of Notre Dame at the time, had come to visit me in my recovery room. And one of the first things he said after introducing himself was, can I pray with you? You know, may we pray? And I said to him what I think most non-Catholics would say, and that is, but I'm not Catholic. And he said, that doesn't matter. Can I still pray with you? And, you know, I had just come out of surgery, so I'm not sure I recognized it at the time. But certainly in hindsight, I knew at that moment that I was going to be okay.
Wow.
And it didn't matter whether I walked again or not. It didn't matter if I swam again for Notre Dame or not. I was a part of this community of faith. I was part of this family, and they were going to take care of me no matter what. And that's a very powerful feeling to experience and to witness and to feel, that very strong faith and power of prayer. And that is truly what carried me through the next several months. I would stay in the hospital. I would eventually have a total of 6 back operations. Mm. I would have to relearn how to walk. And certainly the faith around me carried me when I needed it.
Beautiful, beautiful. Were you in any position to see what was happening with your teammates who were in that bus accident in terms of their faith?
So, you know, it's really interesting when you are in an accident that includes so many people. You know, there were 37 of us on the bus.
Oh, my gosh.
35 of us survived. Unfortunately, 2 of my teammates who were also freshmen passed away. And what I saw was a reflection of, I think, how most tragedies unfold. And that is varied degrees of emotions and a wide range of faith. I think one of the most beautiful parts of our story is that we have all healed and been successful. I always say in all ways that matter. You know, if you look at us now as women, you know, we were young girls at the time, and I know how happy and healthy we are now. It really is a testament to the faith environment where we were, and to be able to talk about it. You know, it's not a topic that people like to talk about a lot, but sure, to be at Notre Dame's campus and to be able to go to the Grotto and to have mass in our dorms where we can really connect, you know, in a very personal and in a very raw way. You know, we were dealing with very hard emotions, but to be in a very safe environment to talk about our faith with my teammates was very healing.
Okay. Well, in the lead up to today, you told me that it took you an entire book to explore the entirety of the situation. Talk about that.
Absolutely. It's very hard when you are in the middle of something to be able to take a step back and truly appreciate what's going on. I was also 18 years old when this happened, and I think, boy, if we could all see the world through the lens of an 18-year-old, we should be so lucky. But going back, 16 years later, it took me a long time to be able to write my book, because I was able to look at it objectively. When I was in the heart of it and going through physical therapy and all of the surgeries, I really just wanted it to be over. And I just really wanted to put it behind me and to move on and to have it not affect my life as daily as it was. And what I needed to do was to give it some time and space so that I could go back and look at it objectively, and so that I could share the very hard emotions and the very raw physical trauma and emotional trauma and spiritual journey that I did. And I needed to be at a very happy and healthy place in my life before I went back and was able to look at a very unhappy and unhealthy time.
Wow.
You know, my book doesn't help anyone if they read what I went through and it sounds easy. The beauty of my story is that it was awful and life is still beautiful.
Wow. Wow. And listeners, if all this that you've been hearing isn't enough, Haley also had to go through one of the students at the high school she later worked and coached at being killed in an accident. Before I ask her about that, though, if you are new and this is your first time listening to Catholic Sports Radio, thank you. And do go back and listen to prior episodes and the great testimony from other guests that I've talked with. And know, too, that as churches, dioceses, ministries, organizations, etc., are making plans for 2020 and some of the events that will be organized next year, if you have any say in any of that, be reminded that I am available as a speaker for your event. That might be a sports night, a parish mission, a men's conference, a diocesan event, or something else where my Catholic Sports Radio ministry is a fit. Familiarize yourself with my faith walk and my sports background, both on episode 1 of this show as well as on the website, and then look for the very short Request Bruce as a Guest Speaker form on CatholicSportsRadio.net to start that conversation. And then also on CatholicSportsRadio.net, if you do like what I'm doing here, if you're tuning in regularly to Catholic Sports Radio, if it's helping your faith life, if you believe in this broadcast ministry, if you enjoy Catholic Sports Radio, you're getting some type of value, some benefit from it, and want to help out, I would appreciate your support. I am just a one-man show, taking this all on by myself, including doing all the producing, hosting, and editing of this show every week, as well as the administrative and promotional work, booking the guests, and so on, which means that all the expenses come out of my pocket. So if you feel I'm giving you something each week that you'd like to support, utilize the Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net, which will give you the opportunity to contribute in whatever amount you wish, securely, online. And I'm happy to give you a shout out for doing so, either on social media or even on the show if you wish, or it can remain anonymous. And also, I've learned from other podcasters whose shows are listener supported, for those of you that don't like the idea of putting credit card information online, just email me, bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, and I will get you an address to send a check or money order to via U.S. mail. Otherwise, look for the Donate to CSR button on catholicsportsradio.net. Pray about it. See if this ministry might be somewhere that God is moving you to tithe. Haley, what about that? Tell the listeners the story of Emily L. and what you witnessed at the Xavier College Prep campus upon that occurrence.
Well, that was really what ultimately led me to convert to the Catholic Church. When I graduated from Notre Dame, I moved back to Arizona. I went back to coach and teach at my high school alma mater, Xavier. And I was also the moderator for our senior student council. And on prom night, one of our senior student council officers was hit and killed by a 55-year-old man who had been drinking. Emily and her date were not, but this man had been, and she died that evening. And what I saw on Xavier's campus after that night in May of 1999 was what I imagine Notre Dame's campus must have been like after our accident. Of course, I hadn't been on campus because I was in the hospital when our accident happened. But what I saw at Xavier was a community mourning, a community of faith coming together to take care of this family that was hurting in the worst possible way, and to also take care of Emily's friends who were trying to navigate their own journey of loss. And it was at that moment that I realized, how do you go through something like this without this strong community of faith. And I realized that it wasn't just a Notre Dame thing, and it wasn't just a Xavier thing, that this was this Catholic community of faith, and I knew I had to be a part of it. And I knew I never wanted to live my life without it. And that's really why when I started looking to go through the RCIA process. And really, that community doesn't necessarily just show up when you need it. It shows up because you've contributed to it when you don't need it. And that's really the goal and the mission for my life is to be a part of those communities and to contribute to them when I don't need them, so that they're there when we do. So that was a very powerful experience for me to feel that kind of on the other side of that community of faith and how meaningful and powerful it is in both ways.
And to be clear, this was in your adult life that you went through RCIA and made this decision to become Catholic.
Yes, correct.
Right. Well, getting back to your book for a minute, why did it take 16 years from the time of the bus accident until you put that out?
So it's one thing I learned right away is, you know, being at Notre Dame and then moving back to Phoenix where everyone knew what I had gone through, people treat you differently. And I always joke, you know, my dad still doesn't think I can carry my own suitcase, even though I'm fully healed and my spine is as strong as anyone's. And, you know, I've run a marathon and done all those crazy things that we do when we're younger. But I loved, for many reasons, getting married. But one of the things, you know, I loved the most about it or really appreciated about it was going from Haley Scott, which was my maiden name, to Haley DeMaria, which is what I am now, and leaving the West Coast and moving to the East Coast, where really no one knew. You know, this is before social media. This is back in the late 90s, early 2000s. And I really appreciated the fact that I didn't have to share this story, that I could let it go, that I didn't have to acknowledge it or talk about it every day. And what I found in my early married life, and then once I had my two children, and how miraculous that was in terms of just what my body is able to do, that this doesn't go away. I have always said that I used to call it my story, and now this, of course, is my journey, because a story has a beginning and an end, and a journey is ongoing.
Wow.
And as much as I tried to ignore this great tragic event in my life, I realized that it has completely defined who I am. And when I try to think of some part of my life that is the same as it was before our accident, I really can't. And again, another beautiful part of the journey is that's okay. You know, it's okay that I am completely different, and it's okay that I can't go back and be the person I was before. And what an opportunity that is then to decide who I want to be and to then define myself and my life on my own terms. So I needed to go through that exploration to be able to share this story. And I needed to recognize that this wasn't going away.
Gotcha.
And I needed to be able to see the beauty in the story as well. And,
sure.
And that took some time also.
Sure. Well, before I ask you about two pilgrimages that you have taken, just tell the listeners briefly about the retreats that you have run.
Sure. I've done a couple of them, and I love to be able to talk about my faith journey as it fits in with other mothers, as it fits in with other women. I've run a couple of them either through my own parish, through our Notre Dame Women Connect group, when we're looking at de-stressing our life, when we're looking at perspective. Certainly when I share my story, it provides perspective for a number of people, as you know, I've had to find perspective in my own life as well. And I really believe, one, in the power of stories, and two, in the power of sharing. And I think when we can pray together and we can share our journey and our hardships, it makes us all feel just a little less alone.
Amen. Amen. We'll go ahead and talk next about the two pilgrimages, August 2017 and then January of this year.
In August 2017, the University of Notre Dame celebrated their 175th anniversary. And with that, they created what they called the ND Trail, so ND for Notre Dame and then ND Trail, which was a 320-mile walk, basically the length of the state of Indiana. We started down in Vincennes, Indiana, which is where Father Soren was. He's the founder of Notre Dame. He was in Vincennes, Indiana, when he received word that he had been gifted land on the south bend of the St. Joseph River to start a university. So Father Soren, back in the mid-1800s, led the trek from Vincennes, Indiana to South Bend, and we retraced his steps. There were 32 of us who walked those miles. And,
Amazing.
my mantra those 2 weeks were, I walk because I can. And that's really how I viewed a lot in my life. I wanted to have that experience. I wanted to walk because I am able to. I wanted to honor Notre Dame and its beginnings and the community that's given me really everything meaningful in my life. It was the first real pilgrimage I had done, and it was extremely powerful to connect with other pilgrims, to celebrate Mass every day in different parts of the state with different priests, to really learn the history of the state and the history of our university and what it expects and asks of us. And that is to be a force for good and to take what we've learned as students at the university and carry it forward through our own world, in our own communities, in our own parishes, wherever we are. And in January of this year, we traveled a group of pilgrims, a group of us who had walked in August of 17. We traveled with a priest from Tanzania to his home country and visited his parishes there and saw the remarkable altar that had been built for his ordination as a priest 10 years ago. And he took us up Mount Kilimanjaro. We hiked with Father David, who is currently studying at Notre Dame, but is a priest from Tanzania. And it's just a fascinating experience for me. One, to see a different part of the world and to experience a very Catholic country, which I didn't know that of Tanzania, to see my faith lived out in a very different way, to celebrate Mass in Swahili, which is a fascinating experience that I wish everyone could have. But then to be on this mountain and very disconnected from the world and yet very connected with really the most important things that we have, which is our faith and companionship and relationships with others.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, we're out of time, but we also hear interviews like this and the host asking if you had to do it all over again, but I don't know that it's ever in reference to surviving a bus accident. Looking back on your journey, can you say, "Oh gosh, well, of course I wouldn't want to go through that again," or is it actually, "No, I would"?
So one question I get asked quite often is phrased a little differently, but do you wish this had never happened? And it took me a while to really think about what my answer is to that question. And it's a very hard one to answer because, first and foremost, yes, I wish that my two teammates were still here. And I wish that they had had the opportunity to live life as well. So in that sense, I wish it hadn't happened. And yet when I look at everything that is most meaningful in my life and everything that brings me the most joy and everything that brings me the most love, it all stems from this very sad event. And so for that, I am extremely grateful for the lessons and the blessings that it's given me.
Amazing, amazing. Well, Haley, thank you so much for your time. Really great to talk to you. Thanks for sharing your story, and God bless you. I appreciate you coming on to Catholic Sports Radio.
Thank you. You're very welcome. I have been blessed.
Listeners, that will do it. You know that we always close with a prayer, so I'm going to do one spontaneously here myself this time around. Let's all do it together in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Loving Father, thank you for your abundant blessings that you pour out upon us. We are grateful for the Holy Spirit that you send to guide us on our journey here in your heavenly kingdom on earth. Lord, we give you thanks that even in our trials and tribulations, you are there, as Matthew tells us in 28:20, "Behold, I am with you always until the end of the age." God, grant us the strength to look for you in all that we do, our sports and our non-sports activities, and to glorify you even in our losses. Help us to see that our defeats can be testimony to help others and bring them closer to you. These things we pray in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name
Amen.
Of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, CATH, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.